Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
If you are a parent, you're aware of that dreaded sex talk with your children, aren't you? Maybe you've already had it and you think you're done. And maybe you just plan to ignore that subject because, well, that's the way that your parents handled it when you were a child. But what does God say about it? King Solomon writes in Proverbs 22, verse 6, he says, "Direct your children onto the right path, and when they're older, they're not going to leave it." Psalm 78, verse 2 reads, "I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty wonders." Well, today we continue our series on how to raise young boys and turn them into godly men. Dr. Mike Fabares is my guest, and we're discussing his latest book, Raising Men, Not Boys, Shepherding Your Sons to Be Men of God. In today's podcast, we'll discuss several things. Number one, why hoping that your children are just blissfully ignorant about sex, well, that's just a bad plan. Number two, why little life lessons on sexuality are so important. And number three, why fathers must guide and lead this discussion on sexuality. Today's show is titled, The Dreaded Sex Talk with Your Children. Let's talk, Mike, about the proverbial sex talk here with our boys. You list five different aspects of things, and I really like how you mentioned from the very get-go that, you know what, your son may be playing dumb on this issue with you on this because you're simply his father. Say more on that.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, I think most boys and children are going to play dumb because it's hard to function. Even if you think you put your kid in a cocoon and he's hermetically sealed in bubble wrap or whatever, there's no way your kid is not exposed to sexual jokes, sexual images, and not to mention that the chemistry of their bloodstream is giving them an interest in these things. They're curious about, you know, people's nakedness and what goes on behind closed doors. And this is intuitive. So when you start talking to your kids about sex, I guarantee you, unless you start really, really young, which I advocate in my book, I do think your kid may sit there because to them, of course, it's an embarrassing topic. They don't want to talk to mom and dad about this. They're going to act like they don't know, but parents need to be wise to it. And I don't know if it's been so long since we were kids, but, you know, we need to remember what we went through. And we knew a lot more than we were living on. And we lived in an age that didn't have the kind of onslaught of digital media coming at us. And even I would say the out of the closet kind of sexual, just out in your face sexual images and stuff that goes on all around us today. So our kids probably know a lot more than we think. When they hear a joke, and I guarantee you, it doesn't have to be, you could put them in a homeschool, you could homeschool them, you could put them in a Christian school, and they're going to hear things, you know, everywhere, on the playground or on the cul-de-sac, wherever you raise your kids. And if they hear a joke, if they hear a statement, they hear a word as other kids giggle, they're going to want to know what those things are, and they're going to ask, and they're going to find a lot of things out. So that's why I advocate, as Josh McDowell does so well, and he's responsible for the foreword for my book. And he's even more hardcore than I am about, you know, he says, if you start teaching your kids about sex, I forget what he says, you know, week two, you've started a week too late, you know? Right. So I do believe you got to start early. And as I advocate in my book, I just think you need to be honest and you need to start talking, more than just about the plumbing, but the desires, even before they come, you know? So think about the fact that your kid is learning about guys and girls from, you know, a Campbell's soup commercial. They see these things, they hear these things, and we just need to know that what I'm doing is trying to rearrange some of the information that they've already received.
Yeah, because when you talk about young, that's a question that I get a lot too. Is, well, when should I start? I don't think it's so much a certain age. It's when we see our young boys, you know, at the grocery store, at the checkout counter, and he's looking at the Cosmo magazine stand,
right.
and you as a father see that, and I think that's a perfect opportunity to take a small life lesson there and actually start this discussion.
Absolutely.
They're going to hear things from school. And if we don't have, as fathers to our sons, have this relationship, for them to come ask you what this certain term means, or maybe someone showed them a certain image on the phone, it's been my experience, Mike, that they're going to go to Google. And they're going to type
right.
this stuff into Google, and Google's right. become the biggest sex educator, and that seems to be a problem.
Absolutely. And the stuff they're going to find on the internet, as we all know, is obscene. And so you have to open up the lines of communication, and that's not going to happen by you just saying, hey, is there anything you want to talk to me about, son? You're going to have right. to lead these conversations. You're going to have to say, hey, tell me about what they're saying about boys and girls. Tell me what they are talking about in terms of private parts. Do you have any questions about what they're saying? I mean, you've got to guide the discussion even before they have that adolescent transformation, and before their hormones are surging. You have to be talking to them about what's going on, what they're hearing, what's going down in their little world that they're in, even if you think you're protecting them. And I'm all for protecting our children. Of course, I talk about guarding them in this topic, but just be careful when you think that you've guarded your child to where you, like I've had people in the lobby of my own church say to me about their 15-year-olds, well, I know they know nothing. They know nothing. I'm thinking, you can't get 15 years on planet Earth and know nothing about right. sex. You know, yeah. these kids are not locked in your basement. They know something. And yet these parents are just blissfully ignorant about their children's sex education that's happening without them being the primary teacher. So I will advocate talking a lot, talking early, talking, of course, age appropriate with them, but making sure that they have a place to come as you lead them in a discussion about everything from, you know, some woman's, you know, lingerie on a billboard to, you know, like you said, the Cosmo magazines at the checkout.
Let's talk about the special value that God places on sexuality. You discussed that as one of the items to include inside the sex talk with your boy. Say more on that.
Well, you know, again, I want it to be a positive thing that we talk about, because you cannot read the Bible. Just the book of Proverbs, the first 9 chapters of Proverbs mm-hmm. and the Song of Solomon. Here's the wisdom of God codified for us, and it speaks so honestly about the damage of sex outside of marriage. I mean, the first 9 chapters talking about the prostitute and how it ruins people and reduces a man to a loaf of bread and all these kinds of things, and then celebrates the reality of sex within marriage. And God places a special value on this that is celebrated in Scripture. And we need to speak positively about it. If a parent hasn't spoken positively about this aspect of life to their teenage son or daughter recently, then I think we're missing the mark. So I just want to make sure that we recognize in a family that the discussion about sex needs to be a kind of a respect for its power and a value that God gives it in terms of something that really is. I mean, it touches the depths of who we are. Paul said, every other sin is outside your body. You could be a gambler, a liar, a murderer, mm-hmm. but there's something about this internal sex drive that touches the core of who we are. And if you think about it, and guys have written good books on this, I mean, look at the secular world that rejects the God of the Bible, but on the radio, what are they singing about all the time? They're singing about this connection with another person in a sexual context, because this is the closest to transcendence as they can get. Mm-hmm. And so they glom on to that transcendent experience of the euphoria of orgasm, to be honest, and that becomes, you know, the shrine at which the culture worships. Well, it is a powerful engagement of our inner person. I mean, this is really what it is. It's designed for the two people in a covenant relationship to have such a powerful connection that it glues them together in a life relationship. That is such a powerful thing that I think we need to realize, well, if the world is seeing this as such a transcendent, sacred experience, then we need to know that there has got to be a proper and yet powerful place in God's economy, as God is on the throne of my life, this still plays an important role. And so I just want to help kids recognize that if they grow up in my house, to learn to respect it and learn to find its proper value and even to interpret why the world's so fixated on it.
That's a great question to even start. Why are we so fixated, especially on the physical aspect? Why do we feel at times the guilt? You know, I have many men, Mike, that come to me and go, look, I'm a Christian, but am I a pervert at the same time because I just admire the female form?
Right.
And these are all deep, deep questions. And if we don't get them answered, man, we just carry this stuff around like bad luggage, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much guilt regarding this because it's such a powerful emotion. And because the Bible says that God's law is written onto our conscience, right? We have it written on our hearts, as Paul says in Romans 2. So we know that something so powerful that touches such a depth of our personhood, I mean, that when we treat it in a way that a drug addict would treat a drug just to get a high, we feel guilty about it. And it's true. We feel that guilt because it touches such a depth of our lives. And God's law would say, no, that's not it. We don't use it for that. I mean, it's like, you know, my wife always gets on me under the counter. We've got one cleaning item that just like, well, it'll just strip anything off of anything, right? And I don't know how to go. I need something cleaned. I just grab the first cleaner under there and squirt it on something. I've ruined my jacket. I've ruined my clothes and, you know, ruined things in the house. And so she's like, you don't understand. That's too powerful. You just don't use that particular cleaner on anything. And that's the thing. Sex is such a powerful agent that it's going to cause guilt when we just take it out and use it however we want. We want something fixed. And so we don't grab the Windex. We grab the triple X, paint stripper that we think is going to clean something, and it ends up destroying things, right? Because if you had sex with everyone that your flesh told you to have sex with, right? The girl at the gym, you know, the girl that walking down the street, your life would be riddled with destruction. It would, as Proverbs chapters 1-9 say, it would reduce your life to nothing. You'd be a broken and terrible, person. Your life would be in shambles. So here's what we've got to realize. Our desires that really beat at something in the depths of who we are, that God has created to be used in a way that really brings glory to Him and fulfillment to us, we just can't use it on anything. And yet we want to, because we see a target when we see an attractive woman. We think, oh, there you go. Let me think about that. Let me explore that in my mind. And God is saying, no, you've got to use it here. Focus here. Mm-hmm. And every time in the scripture, the issue of sexual immorality comes up at any length, like in 1 Corinthians 7 or in the beginning of the book of Proverbs, the answer is put this in the right context. And I understand in some cases you can't put it in the right context, right? Everyone say, I've had the homosexual, community say to me, well, you Christians, you get what you want, but we don't get what we want. What we want is homosexual sex, and you get all the heterosexual. And I'm thinking, no, I don't. I don't get all the sexual appetites that I want satisfied. Not at all. Even in a marriage with a willing partner, I can't have as much sex as I want whenever I want. This is about love. This is about giving. This is about compromise. And this is about self-control and restraint and saying no to our passions and desires when they're not in the proper context. So we're always struggling with this powerful emotion that should be directed toward one man, one woman for life in marriage. But sometimes we recognize, and oftentimes we recognize, it's drawing us like a magnet to things that we have to just break that bond and say, nope. It's called a life of self-denial, and nothing good, right, in your life is going to happen without that. Think about money, right? I can't spend money on everything I see at the mall that I might want. I'd be broke. I'd be bankrupt. So I've got to say, okay, it's a proper thing. God wants me to have money and live my life and even buy a few nice things. That's fine. But I have to use self-control and restraint, and I have to invest properly. And sex is the same way. It's the proper investment of these drives and passions. And we have to teach our children very young that saying no to our passions and desires is the right thing. And we can teach that through their spending, even through their eating, through their sports. I mean, my pastor used to say to me when I was growing up, you should deny yourself something good every day. It's just a good discipline for you, no matter what the context. And I think that's great advice. And I've tried to keep that in my life. Here's something that I could do. It's legal to do. It's moral to do. But I'm going to say no to teach my body who's in charge. Mm-hmm. And who's in charge is a mind that's going to be governed by the principles and precepts and the Spirit of God. And therefore, I'm going to learn to say no to my body. The Christian life is filled with this discipline of self-denial, and we need to learn it in our day more than ever.
Those are wise words from my guest, Dr. Mike Fabares. Nothing good happens without self-control, self-denial. It's interesting that when you do a word study on self-control in the Bible, anger is usually referenced. Proverbs 14:29 reads, "People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness." Proverbs 22:24, "Don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul." It's not a coincidence that sexual sin and anger are two sides of the same coin. You can't have one without the other. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6 that sexual sin is a unique type of sin because we're sinning against our own bodies, which house the Holy Spirit of God. And when we use sex as a drug, it inflicts a wretchedness upon our very soul. Well, tomorrow we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Mike Fabares and his book, Raising Men, Not Boys, Shepherding Your Sons to Be Men of God. And we're going to discuss the redefinition of marriage and a whole lot more. Lastly, Christmas season is here, and if God nudges you to make a year-end donation to a ministry or any kind of organization, I pray that you would please consider donating a tax-deductible gift to God, Sex, and You. We are reaching 80 countries around the world, and we are praying that we can reach the other 80-plus, and we could use your help to do so. You can become a Purity Partner with us for next year. It's only a dollar a day. And that goes a very, very long way for this ministry. You can do so by visiting dustindaniels.org/give. And if you're looking for some reading materials this Christmas season, you can also visit the store on the website as well. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and on Facebook at Purity Pastor. Email me your questions on the website as well, dustindaniels.org. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they're going to see God." Oh, I can't wait for that day. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go stand before you? Walk worthy today, my friend, as you cling to Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.